Welcome to episode 40 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we actually have a very, very, very special guest today. And go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Melissa, but you might know me with the complete name, Melissa the Midnight Mamacita.
So obviously we are very excited. And I was telling her off mic actually that... So there's a few reasons why we started the podcast. It's, I would say probably three. Like I said, to document the history. Our friend Coco was a big inspiration behind it because we would always talk to him about ideas. And he's like, you know, if you want to go do something, just go do it. And we're like, okay, Coco, we're tired of talking about it with you. We're going to do it. And it was partially because, which we'll get into a little bit later, but a lot of people were like, what happened to the Midnight Mamacita? So I was
still here.
Yeah, I was determined to find you. I was like, oh, I don't know if she still lives here. So... We'll get into more of that in a minute. So really quick, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to say you love us, you hate us, you want to send us submissions to feature your music, anything like that. And let me jump into highlights. So the first thing event I wanted to highlight was on April 20th. It's going to be Party Up, which is presented by the Van Buren and Grand Avenue Records. And it's actually going to be a tribute to Prince.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so there's going to be some amazing DJs. It's 21 and over from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. It's a $10 ticket, basically. And it's basically the DJs that are going to be there. It's Coco, De La, Edward Navarro, High Dreams, Julian French, DJ Mello, My God Complex, Santos, Steve Crawford, and Vex. So 5 out of those 10 DJs have actually been on the podcast already. So it'd be cool if you have heard their stories and you haven't seen some of them. It's a good night to go out and kind of see so many of them in one big setting. So,
and basically, I think all you have to say is Prince. And everybody's like, yeah,
Prince. Exactly. Who doesn't love Prince? Who doesn't love Prince? Exactly. And really quick, the other event I wanted to highlight on Saturday, March 23rd at the Historic Nile Theater. So I'm highlighting an event on the East Valley because I'm trying to not be so like... concentrated on Central Phoenix here because there's more to the Phoenix metro area.
It's huge.
Phoenix. Exactly. It is very huge. So the Nile Theater is celebrating 9 years, and from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. it's going to be DJ My God Complex, Catapult Band, and Austin Harshman. So it's going to be basically a big long day just celebrating the Nile. Have you ever been to the Nile?
Never been, but definitely heard of it.
Yeah, so I know like there's a coffee shop and stuff like that there too, so they have a lot of neat things going on. And My God Complex, the DJ, he does really good stuff too. So he spins a lot into funk and soul and R&B and stuff. So he's from Detroit. So
it sounds like it's an all-day party. Is this a family event?
Yeah, actually, it's a family event. So cool. It's not just 21 plus, like, the, of course, the Prince party would be 21 plus. I don't think you could do it any other way. But, yeah, so, Andrew?
Oh, it's my segment already.
It's Andrew's
your
segment.
That was quick. Okay, do you know the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 on the day of your birth?
Last I checked, I'm thinking, I know Ariana Grande had about 4 songs on the top 100 of Billboard. I do know that.
Yeah, she did. She did recently. Uh-huh. But what about on the day, literally the day you were born?
On the day I was born? No, I don't.
On the day you were born, Escape, Pina Colada song by Rupert Holmes was the number
wow.
one song.
Wow. Wow. And then that got remade.
Wait, I could wow. be wrong. I think I might be wrong. Wait,
did you're
I
mess wrong? Up?
No. That's right. Oh. But... I think I looked at the wrong shot. No, actually, my mistake. It was Barry Manilow, I Write Love Songs. Was the
wow. Universe. He's still alive, right?
Yeah. Yes, Barry Manilow is still alive.
He's still alive.
I totally just dated myself.
No, we also do it when you're 14 years old. The number one song supposed to define your life when uh-huh. you're 14 years old. That was, so the other one I gave you was, but we'll go through the top 10 just for good sake, because that's what we always do. Number 10 was Styx, Babe. Number 9 was Cliff Richard, We Don't Talk Anymore. Number 8 was Ladies Night, Cool in the Gang.
Nice.
Number 7 was Kenny Rogers, Coward of Courage, I'm guessing that's what it is. Number 6 was Still Commodores. Number 5 was Please Don't Go, KC and the Sunshine Band.
Nice, I like that.
I might have done this wrong too. Let me see, yep, I think I did.
Andrew's all over the place today.
All
those
place.
Are good songs, though, so keep going.
I'm happy with this list.
You know, I'm recovering from a sickness, and I'm just I'm just not with it.
You were coming down with the sickness.
Please don't.
Yes, when I say that, because do you remember that song by that band Disturbed? Like, coming down with the sickness. And go, so I do that to him to make him mad.
This is the second week in a row I've messed up. So it's just like, it's okay. It's just not my. It's not
those
my
are good hand. Songs. I wouldn't call it a mess up.
All right, so it's actually 1990. During this year, I was in the time period. So number 10 was Lou Gramm, Just Between You and Something. Taylor Dane? With Every Beat of, again.
This is when she was 14, right?
Yeah. Yes, 14.
Okay. Uh-huh. This is junior high for me.
Yeah, Cher, Just Like Jesse James. Number 7, New Kids on the Block.
Oh, which one?
This one's for the, it's Cuts Off.
Oh, man, I'm going to
see this. One's for the children.
Okay.
This one's for the children. The children of the world.
It's New Kids.
Number 6 was Jody Whitley, Everything. Number 5
Jody
was
Watley?
Jody Watley. I'm horrible. Number 5 was Linda Ronstadt, Don't Know Much, featuring Aaron Neville.
I don't know much, but I know I love you.
I can't sing like Aaron Neville.
Maybe.
Number 4 was Michael Bolton, How Am I Supposed to Live Without You?
You wanted me to sing that one too.
He's all waiting for you. He's like, do it.
Just kidding. I am not a singer by any means.
Number 3 was Pump Up the Jam by Tektronix featuring Feli.
Nice.
Number 2 was Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
And number 1, did you have...
Do you have a wild guess as to what number 1 might be?
Gosh.
So if Rhythm Nation was number 2...
Is it like Criss Cross or something?
I don't know. It's Phil Collins' Another Day in Paradise.
I think I'll stick with Rhythm Nation.
She's like, let's just pretend we didn't hear the number 1.
It's Miss Jackson.
Exactly. Who doesn't love Janet? That's my number 1 is Janet, actually. So so as we said, you are our special guest today. So we try to get guests every week. And this week it happens to be you. And it's funny because Andrew was saying, because it's going to be episode 40. So he's like, we need someone like, you know, bang, it's 40 episodes. And that's what I was like, sweet, we got her for number 40.
Yay, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course, of course. So let's go ahead and get started here. So are you from Phoenix or Arizona?
Originally, I'm from Los Angeles. But I actually moved to Tucson, or my parents moved me to Tucson when I was 12 years old. Lived there for 10 years, did high school there, started my radio career there. And then the station that I was working for was being sold, and the current owners did not want to do the hip-hop format. And
so what station was this?
I started working at Hot 98.3, which is an iHeartRadio station. Then I went on to work for Power 97.5, which was the first station in Tucson to play hip-hop during that time because no one was playing it. Then when that station got sold and got taken over, I moved to the Phoenix area. And I happened to run into one of the members of Nasty Boy Click, who had been going to Tucson.
All goes back to Nasty Boy Click.
So, yeah. So they were performing in Tucson a lot during that time. That's when they were, you know, doing a lot of their music and concerts and shows. And I knew one of the guys, and he happened to be broadcasting live in Mesa, down the street from where I lived. So I was like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You know, just moved here a couple weeks ago. Are you guys hiring at your station? And he's like, yeah, come by, see the PD. And I was like, all right, give me the number. Called, PD told me, come in the next day. Went in the next day. The PD was Rick Thomas, who is now, I believe, in San Diego. And
so what's a PD?
Program director.
Okay, so for those of us that don't know.
those are the main bosses at radio stations.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And at least on the programming side, on the music side. And so went in, and he's like, all right, bring me an air check, you know, tomorrow. And I'm like, you need an air check by tomorrow. Mind you, during this time, air checks were done on cassette tapes. So that means I had to go back home, listen to all my air checks. That means me being on the air, and put bits and pieces of it together, collect them. I had to work that night. I had like 3 hours. So I sat there and collected the best I could.
It's like your resume, basically,
right? Exactly. It's like my voice resume. And I put it all together, and I went in the next day and took him my cassette. He took it upstairs. I waited. And it was like a two-story loft area. And at the time, it was 103.9 Arizona's Party Station. And he took it upstairs, listened to it, He looked down and he goes, hey, what time are you available tomorrow? You're hired. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I was like, all right. He goes, I need someone to start the overnight shift. So I had never done overnights before. Before that, in Tucson, I was doing middays. And I'll get into how I got the name Alyssa the Midnight Mamacita, because this is where it began. I was doing middays, and the morning show guys would always be like, why are you walking in here like a mamacita? No one can see you. And I would go by Melissa in the midday, because that's the shift that I did. I did 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so they'll be like, oh, why are you coming in here like a mamacita? So I'd go out and do remotes, and the people would be like, oh, who are you? And I'm like, oh, Melissa in the midday. They'd be like, the midday mamacita? And I was like, yeah, I guess. So people started remembering that more than what I normally use, which was Melissa in the midday. So I was like, I should just start calling myself Melissa the Midday Mamacita, because everybody is remembering that. So I started calling myself Melissa the Midday Mamacita on the air. So when I moved here and I started doing the nighttime shift, which was midnight to 5:30 a.m., I started using Melissa the Midnight Mamacita. And that's how the name started.
And it's like, that's what people, like you're saying, know you for, uh-huh. Right?
That's how they remember me, yeah. So
did you always want to be in radio? Or how did your love for music start? Was it like, was music a big thing in your home?
Music was huge in my home. I mean, I grew up listening to absolutely everything from Vicente Fernandez to Juan Gabriel to Rocío Dulcal. I don't know if you're familiar with that music, to, you know, Michael Jackson and Prince and all that stuff. And originally when I was in high school, I wanted to be a newscaster. So during that time in high school, my high school was a really big media-oriented school. When I left, actually, it turned into a media magnet school. But while I was there, we were in the process of making it a magnet school. And we were taking trips down here to visit South Mountain because they were a media magnet school at the time, and trying to evolve into that. So my high school had a studio for music. It had a TV studio. It had, you know, graphics and all that stuff. So when I was in high school, I was part of the media program. My mentor and teacher, Cal Montgomery, was huge in that, because we were able to each produce our own news segment, and that news segment would get played live throughout the school every Friday. So when it was my turn, so I'm going to mention another name that is also big in the Phoenix area. When it was my turn, I invited one of the local DJs at 93.7 KRQ to come be my guest. And that DJ was the Manic Hispanic.
Okay.
So he came, and he was my guest of honor on my new segment, where we were both anchors. And it was an awesome show. It was so much fun. We vibed well together, and it worked out. So during that time, I'm an intern at Telemundo, the TV station, because we all had the chance to intern through that high school program. I'm an intern at Telemundo. I met a few of the other jocks and hung out and, you know, got to meet a lot of people. I graduated, and my first year at community college, the jock that I would work with while I was an intern at Telemundo says, hey, James, the Manic Hispanic wants your number. His co-host is touring. His co-host is actually one of the Latin Kings of comedy, Joey Medina. And he goes, he's touring right now and he needs someone to be his co-host on the air. Call him up. So I called him and he's like, hey, would you consider, you know, coming in and hanging out and seeing, you know, if it works? We vibe really well when I did your high school news show. And I was like, sure. So I went in the next day, and the rest is history. That's where my music radio career began.
Well, and I think, because what part of LA are you from? Because Andrew, he's been here since he was 5, but his family is from California, and he's from the LA area.
What part of LA are you from?
My family grew up in the Norwalk area.
Oh, okay. I'm from City of Commerce.
Okay.
Uh-huh. City of Commerce, Montebello area. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with that, where that's uh-huh. at. So that's interesting. So, like you said, you were in LA, then you went to Tucson, and then you
Tucson
made your way
up started
here.
Junior high there, high school, and then came down here.
So how was it, like, okay, so when you moved from LA to Tucson, was it like
culture shock?
Yes. So how was that experience?
Culture shock. I lived in a very, how can I put it, very diverse area. In a very diverse area. And at the time when we moved to Tucson, the area that we moved into was not diverse. I was like, where's my freestyle music? Oh, the kids here are into heavy metal. Who the heck is Def Leppard? I had no clue, you know? I was like, give me Lisa Lisa and the Cold Jam. That's what I would, you know, that's what I knew. So it was very different. And definitely Tucson is a lot, how can I put it, more small town.
It's very close-knit.
Yeah, very close-knit or small-minded type of town. So when I came to the Phoenix area, I always said, it's the best of both worlds. I would never move back to LA. It's expensive. There's a lot of traffic. It's just bananas to get from one place to another. And I wouldn't want to go back to Tucson. I don't think it's me. So I think the Phoenix area is just, you know, just right. You know, it's almost like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Oh, too big. Oh, too small. This is just right for me.
That's a good analogy. So when you came and moved to Phoenix, about how old were you, like, age range? Were you in your 20s?
I was right before, it was right before I turned 21.
Oh, okay. So you're right before you turned 21. Uh-huh. And so when you came over here, how did you feel once you finally moved here?
Well, fortunately, my best friend had moved here just a few months before. So I moved in with her. And, you know, I just kind of felt right into place. It was tough in the beginning because, you know, I was struggling just like any, you know, young person moving and going to college and trying to balance work and career and school and everything. But, you know, ultimately it was such a blessing.
So when you started your midnight shifts at Power, how long did that last? Were you on like literally overnight?
Okay, well, I started doing overnights at 103.9. Then that station changed formats. They started getting cleaning house and getting rid of people. So I was let go along with a few others. And I started looking for work. And I did like morning show producing for another show in the area. The station's no longer around. And then I had the opportunity to speak to Bruce St. James. And Bruce St. James was the program director at the time. And he was on the air in Tucson when I was in sixth grade. So it was nice to, you know, see him. And there was a big event going on here in the Phoenix area. And I had an old music director in town, too. And I was like, hey, you know, he's like, come with me. And I was like, all right. So Bruce happened to be there. And I'm like, hey, I'd love to meet with you. I'm looking for, you know, a gig here in the Valley. And he was like, all right, come in. Let's set an appointment. Here's your stuff. So when I went to interview with him, he's like, you know, we do, I want to put together a slow jam show. I want it to kind of follow the way of Angelita de la Noche, who was on Power 106. And he goes, it's just different to have a female voice a show, because if you look throughout the country, there are mostly males that do this type of show. He goes, so I would absolutely love it if we could have a female voice in. And I was like, dude, that's right up my alley. Those are my jams. So he told me, all right, come in, let's do this. So I did 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
So growing up, did you listen to Art LeBeau?
Actually, not only did I grow up listening to Art LeBeau, Hot 98.3 was owned by Art LeBeau when I worked there for a time.
So you got to meet him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was in the office every so often and hanging out in his blue and white seersucker suit. Oh, yeah.
That sounds amazing. And are you familiar with Huggy Boy?
Yes, from LA as well.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That's, I was like, okay. Because I know those are like, okay. So
Huggy Boy, Kool-Aid. Because, you know, while I was at Power, ironically, in the building that's right behind here, that's when we used to do the Pocos Pero Locos show. And I believe he was one of them.
Okay. So I know, are you familiar with Terry Lee?
No.
No, Terry Lee. So I guess Terry Lee did slow jams as well. But it was like in the era of like Art LeBeau and stuff. Uh-huh. So he was, I believe, originally from Pennsylvania.
And then
from
Pittsburgh area.
Yeah. And then he came down here and did like his thing over here. Like he eventually came this way. And he started, I want to say maybe KDKB, like what it eventually became. But I can't remember exactly.
What year
right
was
now.
This?
Oh, it was ages ago, bro.
Oh, okay. I probably wasn't here in the area.
You were probably just born. That was a long time ago. But I was, I'm always curious about that. Because it's like you always hear about us being over here because Phoenix is influenced by LA so much. So we know about like the Art LeBeau and like all the other stuff. So definitely, I always say like we're in the shadow of LA. So because it's like,
it comes there first, and then once it comes there, it comes here. Well, ironically, you know, like I said, Bruce St. James got that inspiration from Angelita de la Noche, Josefa Salinas, who was pretty well known in L.A. for doing a slow jam show on Power 106.
So did you, was it, okay, so when did exactly Lights Out Phoenix start?
Lights Out Phoenix began, okay, let me see. Gosh, 1998.
Really? 1998? Because I always remember it like being there. But I was like, I'm like, when did it start? I don't even remember. Like, I just felt like it was always there. But it was probably because I was getting older. So that's when I started staying up later and listening to the radio and stuff like that. And I've had different conversations with different women around the Valley who actually DJ that are like born and raised here and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Or they just grew up here. Mm-hmm. And they always say that you are a huge influence on their Aww. Musical taste, including myself. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just
98.
It's really crazy to think that. So was it like you're saying they had the idea for the format? So did you have, I don't want to say free reign, but did you get to select most of
it? Here and there. I don't know if people are aware that when it comes to radio stations and big radio stations, you really don't have a lot of musical influence because there's a person whose job is to pick the daily music, and that's a music director's job. So I think when it came to my show, I definitely had more free reign than other jocks because of the fact that, like, for example, if someone requested a song, I'd move things around a little bit and throw a song in. Or, for example, I would do a highlight where I would do, you know, a Monday thing or a flashback or that kind of thing. And I definitely had free reign over all that. I think I had a little more of a loose music schedule compared to my other coworkers.
And do you ever remember, because I used to, of course, part of any like slow jam format is listening to the dedications. Is there any dedications that you ever remember or stuck out in your mind?
Okay, so whenever anybody would call, I would have a notebook where I would write down everybody's dedication daily. I would set up my candle, turn down the lights, really just set the mood. And I still have some of those notebooks that have all the dedications on them. Ironically, a friend from college, I was running through her dedication that she sent out to her now husband, and I reminded her of it because I saw the dedication on my notebook when I was putting stuff away and we were moving.
That's freaking crazy. You should publish that. That would be super cool to read. Just kind of like a history of it all and everything like that. So, you know, has anyone ever approached you and said anything to you, like, about the show or anything like that? Like, after it stopped or anything?
Well, a lot of times. I'll tell you a story that happened with my husband. My husband is a mortgage lender in the Valley. And he was out with his realtor who, you know, he did the deal with. And they were out to dinner with the new homeowners, and all of a sudden, you know, they would start talking, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, so how long have you been in the business, and you know, this and that, oh, what does your wife do? And then, you know, my husband's like, oh yeah, my wife's done radio, you know, here in the Valley for many years. And he's like, no way. He goes, yeah, who is she? He goes, oh, Melissa the Midnight Mamacita. He stands up and goes, no way, no way. Like, he totally has like a conniption. And then he tells the what's it called, the new homeowners, do you know who his wife is? And my husband totally, like, is cracking up, of course, you know, because it's just me. Just that woman I go to bed with every night. So, yeah, he's, like, cracking up, and he shared it on Facebook, and people were, like, laughing, and it was hilarious.
That is pretty funny. And then when did Lights Out Phoenix end its run?
Lights Out Phoenix ended after 11 years. Not only I, but about 13 of us got let go. This happened in the summer of 2009 when the financial decline started going down. The station started going into bankruptcy. Lots of people got let go, including many, many on-air talents, lots of my bosses. And mind you, there had already been cuts prior to that. And I don't think they saw us necessarily as individuals when they came in. They just saw us as, okay, let's get rid of the salary.
Yeah, looking at money only.
Yeah, and that's what it came down to.
Were you upset? I mean, I know it's the nature of the business in radio, but were you just like, really?
I don't think upset is the word. I was devastated. I was devastated because Lights Out Phoenix wasn't just a job. It became such a big part of me. It really did. It became a huge part of me. It became, You know, people say, oh, your job shouldn't define you. But unfortunately, it came to the point where it was around for such a long period of time, and not just a long period of time, but such an important part of my life. Like I told you guys off the air, you know, while I was on Lights Out Phoenix, I met my husband, he proposed, we got married, I finished college, I had two children. So like my years there were like the best years. It really was a tough time. I honestly think I even went through a depression when it was over, just because it was such a big part of me, and I just identified with it so much.
You're like, I'm the midnight mamacita, damn it.
And you know what? I did go on to get another job, and I was doing middays at Live 101.5, and I worked there for a couple of years. And
you
then
were called the midday mamacita, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
I
when you
midday
back
mamacita.
There.
And then I was recruited to go over to iHeartRadio when they had EVA 95.5, an old school station, and they wanted me to continue doing slow jams there. So I did night grooves, is what they called it. I did night grooves for a couple of years, and then they changed the format on that. And fortunately, I was doing weekends on KISS while I was doing slow jams Monday through Friday. And I was just doing weekends on KISS. So after they did the format changed on EVA, I have been doing weekends on KISS ever since. And it's been 8 years. So I'm currently on the air at 104.7 KISS FM doing Saturday mornings 6 to 10 and Sundays 10 to 2.
See, and it's funny because like I was telling you off mic, I did not even know that.
Well, I don't do the slow jam format. I just do regular, you know, top 40 KISS FM format. So I'm just on the air. I still use Melissa the Midnight Mamacita, and I'm just on the air in the mornings.
So do you think, because I feel like the just radio, at least here in the Valley, is really starving for like some real like true, because I feel like there's not really right now like a true actual, I mean, radio's just changed. I'm sure you.
It's changed.
So how would you say it's changed from when you first started in radio to how it is now?
Machines. I think that's the key right there. Some machines, of course, have been beneficial. And some have hurt the creativity because of the fact that, you know, machines and money, because machines allow you to cut costs. I mean, let's take it back to something as simple as a grocery store. If I'm not in a hurry, I refuse to use a self-checkout. Why? And I had a lady come up to me the other day and she's like, oh, come use the self-checkout. I said, you know what? I have time today. I'll stand in line. And she goes, oh, why not use it? I said, because I want you to keep your job. And she looked at me and she goes, I never thought of it that way. I said, if I use that machine, then they have no need for you. So that's kind of like the same way when it comes to radio. Now you can pre-record and do all that ahead of time. And then you don't have to go in for 4 hours. You can knock out a 4-hour show in an hour or less. And then you can go home. But it kind of kills the essence of the personality and the connection with the public, which I think was huge for Lights Out Phoenix. Because on Lights Out Phoenix, my favorite part wasn't just the music. It was the connection that I had with my listeners, because I would have people that would call the time. I would have people whose relationships I knew from beginning to end, from when they were beginning to send out their cute dedications in high school, to them being engaged, to them being married, to just, you know, the history of who they were. A lot of times I wouldn't remember the listeners necessarily by their name, but I would remember them by their story. So they'd be like, hi, this is Lisa. Remember, I work at so-and-so, and I was telling you, oh, yeah, I remember your boyfriend's Bobby, right? So do you see what I mean? Like, I would remember them by what was a part of them, not just by their name. Of course, the regulars,
you know,
I remember
you
by
know
name.
Them in a different way.
I would know their story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's what I always say. So it's funny. So when Lights Out Phoenix started, I was... let's see, I was 13. Mm-hmm. I was about 13 years old. And I remember, so when I first started listening to it, you know, that's when the age you start thinking about, like, you know, boys and stuff like that. So it's like when I first started listening to it, it was more like in an aspect of like, okay, you know, I like the music. And then it's like, well, is that what love is like? Because I'm listening to all these love songs. And then you get your first crush, and then your first boyfriend, then your first heartbreak. And it's just like growing up with that and listening to it the whole time. Like, and I didn't realize till later, like, how, and like I said, it's not just me, it's for so many people that I talk to in the Valley, that it was a huge thing of like, I grew up with it, and then like I matured with it, and it was like when it was gone, it was like, well, what the hell am I gonna listen to at night?
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, when it came to the music, you think, oh, this song reminds me of him. Is he thinking of me the way I'm thinking of him? I bet you it was, you know what I mean? It's really just, I think, the fantasy, the mind story you create in your own head that just makes you feel, you know, warm and fuzzy inside.
I know, exactly. So you're a very important part of the history in the Valley. So you've definitely made your impact. And is there any, so you, like you said, you're on 104.7, correct? Uh-huh. On the weekends.
Currently, yes.
And do you ever plan on, like, bringing that format back?
Oh, believe me, I have tried. There's not one PD that has not heard me, program director, that has not heard me ask, hey, would you consider doing a slow jam show again? I've tried. A lot of times I think it's just there's not enough hours of the day to get enough music on, and there's certain currents that they have to play just to keep up with the times. So I think that kind of works against me.
it influences the decision.
Yeah, kind of, but thing. Believe me, I've tried.
Okay, and then do you, because I'm like, I don't know how far you want to go with it, but okay, so like, I feel like power has gone so far away from what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And that's what I always hear from, like, just people that I talk to, they have conversations with. It's like, I feel like in the Valley, we don't have a true, like, hip hop. Mm-hmm. Or like R&B format, or like a format that's just like, I don't know. It's hard for me. Like, I know we have 104.3, so it's like old school. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we have a lot of pop. And sometimes when I turn on the station, I'm like hearing the same song. So I always think of it this way. So when I was younger, I used to be able to turn the dial and listen to different things. But like, I would say, I always think of it back to like when Eminem came out. Mm-hmm. So when Eminem came out, I could go to almost any station and probably hear him because he crossed lines, as you can say. But now I feel like I can hear the same song on every single station. So it's like, do you think...
Music's changed a lot. And I think that's part of the issue, is that a lot of music kind of crosses boundaries. I mean, let's not go too far with like Taylor Swift. Before, you can only catch her on a country station. Now you can, you know...
She's pop.
You know, you can cross over. Florida Georgia Line, that's another one. There's a lot that have crossed over. Flowrida, you know, just have crossed over to do a lot of things. And I think what a lot of people don't understand, and you know how you're saying that you would be able to hear another song? Probably weren't paying enough attention. I guarantee you could hear the same song. What I always tell people is, if people be like, oh, I hate that song, I'm so tired of it, I hear it all the time. Fact of the matter is, and I was told this once, and I don't remember from whom, the song you get sick of will be the song that wins awards at all the award shows. Because while you're sick of it, there's another person right next to you that wants to hear it 10 more times. So you might get sick of it, but the person next to you might not be sick of it yet. So we kind of have to aim to please both. So if you're sick of it, chances are it's a winner.
Well, and like, we've had this discussion too with our friend Coco from Grand Avenue Records, because he's involved and he's like actually like a big like DJ, like scratch record DJ and stuff like that. But he was saying too, he's like, you know, it's so easy to say that something sucks if you don't like it. He's like, but there's actually so much work that went into that. So like,
and so many people, for every person that hates it, there's a bunch of other people that love it. So, and vice versa, you know?
Exactly. So I always try to be mindful of that. And I usually am not the type to be like, something sucks. I usually just say it's not my cup of tea, because everybody's different and everybody has their own flavors that they like.
I agree.
And so is there any future plans that you have for anything else to do? Or
as far as radio?
Yes,
or
as far as radio.
As far as radio, you know, I kind of think that, one, like I said, radio has changed a lot. And in order to really have a full-time gig in the radio industry, Rena, you have to wear a lot of hats. And for me, my number one hat is mom. I have three kids. And I know that wearing a bunch of those other hats at a different radio station would have me take off the mom hat, which I'm not willing to give up. If someone were to say, hey, I have a slow jam show for you to do, come in and do it, you know, a few hours a night, I'd be down with it. But I think the thing is, like I said, is I'm not willing to wear all those hats to save a company money. Do Do you know what I mean? So I think that's where it makes it difficult. And sometimes that's the reason why I don't push a little further, because I know something's got to give. And I'm not giving up my kiddos. You know, it's like I have a 15-year-old. Yes, he's older. But at the same time, as they get older, sometimes you need more eyes on them. You know, I've kind of become Uber. Mom Uber, that is free. Like I spend my day driving around like a stinking taxi all day. For real. So, you know, it's like I don't know if I'm willing to give that up.
Yeah, because that's like me too, because sometimes people will tell us like about the podcast, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And I'm like, I mean, I know I could do more, but I want to spend time with my child first, number one, before I do anything else. So we prioritize our family, yeah. Our family life first, and then everything else comes after.
And I mean, how can I put it? Like I said, I have a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a soon-to-be 9-year-old. And I think now, you know, he's planning on going to college. He's 15. I'm like, crap, that's just 3 more years I have with him before he moves out or goes to college. And that's nothing. And it makes me sad to think about it. But, you know, time flies, as I'm sure you can see as a mom. You know, it probably seems like just yesterday she was barely walking. And you're like, goodness gracious, how can you be a teenager? You know, so it's like my husband works a lot, too. So I think there has to be some sort of balance. And it's either me or him. And right now it's me.
Yeah. And you're like, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. That itch does happen. And I would love to, if someone were to say, hey, do a show for me, you know, 4 times, money would be decent. And, you know, come do a show for me. And, you know, Monday through Friday or whatever, I'd be like, cool, let's do it. But it's, I'd wear that hat. But I don't know if I could have the time to wear the multiple hats.
And what are you listening to right now?
What am I listening to right now? Honestly, I listen to anything and everything. I am pretty diverse when it comes to my music. I listen to a lot of Spanish music, a lot of pop. I still love hip hop. You know, there's not really too much right now.
Do your kids turn you on to music?
My kids love music. Like, I didn't know who Billie Eilish was until my son's like, Mom, look at this. And speaking of my son, it was kind of hilarious when I stopped doing the slow jam show when I did Night Grooves. He was really upset. He was like, Mom, how am I going to go to sleep if I can't listen to you? Aww, it was the cutest thing ever. And he was a lot younger, and he said this with, like, tears in his eyes. And then the other one's like, Mommy, I can't go to sleep without listening to you. It was so cute.
That is really cute. That would probably break my heart. Like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, don't make me more sad.
Are you going to make them, what is, you called your tape, your sample tape, you make someone have to play it every night?
I have a few CDs I can play for them.
I know, here you go. You're like, let's get away from the cassettes.
How about I just stand outside your door and start KKFR? I have a dedication.
Aw, that's so cool. So do they know you're in radio, but do they care? They're just like, yeah, it's my mom's job.
Well, it's kind of ironic because sometimes a lot of classmates won't believe them. So it'd be like, no, really, watch, listen to my mom on Saturday.
Oh my gosh.
So it's pretty funny. Or I'll go to school and they're like, Mom, take your work tag out of your purse. They don't believe me.
They feel all cool. That's so cute. Because most kids are like, no, Mom, like, no.
And they're like, oh, you're lying. Your mom doesn't work for Kiss FM. Yeah, she does. I'm not lying. Watch, ask the teacher.
Did they ever ask you if you know other DJs?
Oh, of course.
Like Lady Lottie, you know Lady Lottie?
Of
they say
they
that.
Do. Yeah. I've known Lady Lottie since she was an intern.
So who any DJs now that are in the Valley that you took under your wing?
Well, it's kind of funny because there's a lot of DJs that were interns at the time that I was at Power that are doing amazing things right now. That Girl Fell was an intern for Lights Out Phoenix. Love Felicia. Lots of, you know, there's D'Angelo, who was an intern at Power as well, and he's in Michigan. And then Bootleg Kev was an intern at Power. So many names. I mean, Ramses Ja. There's so many people that have been interns at Power that are doing amazing things right now. So it definitely makes me feel, Lena Cruz, it makes me feel like a mama bird, you know, Yaya Martinez. So many people that have just been doing really good things. And I'm sorry if I forgot any of you. It's just Tio Dio, just a lot of people that were interns, and it makes me like feel like a proud mama chicken to see them grow and just, you know, to remember them when they were just little, you know, straight out of high school or, you know, just starting in college and stuff. And now they're doing amazing things, so it gives me a lot of pride to know that I've been there since the beginning, you know, that I was there, that I watched them grow.
And is there anything, so anybody out there that's aspiring to be a radio DJ, is there any advice that you can give them now since the game is so different?
Follow your passion if it's something you really want to do. Be open to anything, because there's so many aspects of radio that sometimes people aren't aware of. You know, there's the side of creating, you know, commercials. There's the side of creating imaging. There's a promotion side. There's a sales side. There's so many sides of radio that people aren't aware of. And also be willing to work, because it's not easy. It's not an easy career to get into, based on the fact that when you think about it, everybody wants to be, you know, a full-time, because you want to be able to make some money, right? Well, you got morning, you got midday, you got drive, and you got nights. That's four full-time shifts, one radio station. It's not really very, you know, broad, but if you want it, go out and get it. Just be prepared to work, because you're probably going to have to wear, like I said, a few different hats to make it happen.
So do people typically start on the overnight shift?
A lot of people start maybe as interns. And then once they start as interns, what happens is it's they get to know you, they get to know your work ethic, and then they get put on, you know, sometimes weekend shifts, overnight shifts, that kind of thing. And it just depends from there how it goes.
Like you're saying, it's up to the PD.
Yeah, it is. It's also not just the PD, but also availability. You don't know if someone's leaving, someone's been there for years. It's just a lot of factors that play a part. But if you're willing to give it the time, the hustle, and, you know, just put things aside. Like, I think during the time that I started radio, I was single. I didn't have any children. I had the time to invest and to be at the station all the time and stuff like that. So it worked out. So be ready to give it some time, because it's not going to be easy, especially now.
Okay. Well, I want to say, is Andrew, is there anything else you wanted to ask?
I was going to ask you, would you ever entertain the idea of doing like a on like an internet radio show?
It has kind of come to mind, I'm not gonna lie, but I think about, remember we talked about the commitment about, you know, you guys, yeah, were talking about doing it once a week and all that stuff. I barely have time to breathe sometimes.
You have three babies.
So I have three kids that I have to, you know, games and practices and this and that. And sometimes I barely have time to make dinner. So it's one of those things where life has pretty much taken over. And yeah, it's definitely maybe something I would consider maybe doing once a week or something like that. So it's definitely something that has been in my head and I've toyed around with. And maybe someday I will.
Awesome.
Well, I guess that's pretty much it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank
I appreciate
you for having
it.
Me. It's been an honor to be here with you guys. Honestly, when I got your phone call, I was like, me? Really? So it really gave me the warm and fuzzies inside, and it made me feel so special. And thank you guys for not just, you know, having me here, but honoring, you know, the Slow Jams and Lights Out Phoenix, and for honoring Phoenix music. It deserves it.
I know. Well, thank you for making an impact in the Valley by just doing what you want to do, doing what you love, and that, you know, we have our format, and I can't say it's the biggest format ever, but people always ask us, like, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? And it's part of that aspect of, like, you're saying, you're like, you just have to kind of do it, like, mm-hmm, get the ball rolling. So, but like we said, we appreciate, I always tell people the most valuable thing you have in your life is your time. So thank you so much for giving us a little piece of your time. We very much appreciate it. Again, our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And you can go ahead and close it out.
Thank you so much for having me. Should I close out with the way I used to open?
Yes.
KKFR, Glendale, Phoenix. It's Lights Out Phoenix with Melissa, the Midnight Mamacita.